everyone. I'm Gary Nall. This is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Our theme today is In Search of the Truth in a Nation Filled with Official Lies. When we can't believe the media, we can't believe the White House, we can't believe any area of Congress, we certainly cannot and should not believe the deep state in the National Security Agency, the CIA, nor the official agencies that are also captured and controlled by special interests like the FDA and the CDC, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, Anthony Fauci, then who do we believe? My guest is Dr. Edward Curtin, C-U-R-T-I-N, college professor of sociology and theology at Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts, where he's taught the classics, philosophy, literature, religion, and sociology. He is also the author of an important work, Seeking Truth in a Country of Lies. And by the way, this book goes to the very heart of many of the pressing humanitarian issues of our time. Edward's website is edwardcurtin.com. Nice to have you with us today, Ed.
Gary, thanks for having me.
I'd like to begin with speaking about the mass media and propaganda. And I like to introduce the audience to individuals or institutions or programs they would have likely not heard of. You've written about a company called Bellingcat that seems to take Bernays, or Edward Bernays, the father of propaganda in the United States back in the 1920s, and Bernays' success at fabricating falsehoods to seduce the public to a postgraduate level. I'd never heard of them before this, but as you note, they have been behind the false propaganda of the white helmets, blaming Assad for the Douma chemical attacks, the downing of flight MH17, and much more. Moreover, they seem to have deep connections with think tanks aligned with U.S. intelligence agencies. So first, tell us something about Bellingcat, that's B-E-L-L-I-N-G-C-A-T, what it is, and what they've been responsible for, and then this is a case of an entity that is connected so much with, let's say, the CIA or Homeland Security or national security agencies. And they've been very successful in lying. And in some of our most outspoken progressive voices, such as Chris Hedges, who is often on this program and I deeply admire, it shows that the level of sophistication and even infiltration capabilities to seduce the left or even the progressive voices, it's remarkably advanced and successful. So can you speak about this level of sophistication and the intelligence industry's ability through the media to lasso even its most ardent left opponents into its corral? The forum is yours.
Well, thank you, Gary. yes, Bellingcat is a propaganda outfit that was started by an unemployed Englishman about 7-8 years ago, and his name was Elliot Higgins, and his organization has been funded over the years by the Atlantic Council, which is a think tank with deep ties to the U.S. government. It's been funded by NATO, by war manufacturers, by the National Endowment for Democracy, which is another infamous U.S. front organization, heavily involved in so-called color revolutions around the world. And it has been financed by both the British and the U.S. governments, among other sources of funding. And a few years ago, what you said about Bellingcat and their propaganda about Syria, about the downing of the airplanes, about the white helmets is all very, very true. A few years ago, there was a film that came out, which won an Emmy Award It's called Bellingcat, Truth in a Post-Truth World, and which is a real Orwellian title for Bellingcat. However, it won an Emmy Award for Best Documentary. And to my great surprise, and perhaps to other people's, and perhaps to Chris Hedges' surprise himself, I don't know, Chris Hedges gave the award to the makers of the film at the Emmy Awards. And why he did so, I don't know. Maybe he was surprised, taken off guard. But I would have thought he would have known about Bellingcat before the fact. And I say that as an admirer of much of his work. I think he does great work. But I think it's just an example of how certain people have blind spots. Now, of course, I have a blind spot, too, as do we all. But there are a number of people over the years who are considered left-wing critics of the government, of the propaganda apparatus, but who also seem to be befuddled or taken in by propaganda such as that around Bellingcat. The online publication, The Intercept, also was celebrating. If your listeners don't know what The Intercept is, it's an online publication started by billionaire Pierre Omidyar, who is associated with Glenn Greenwald and Jeremy Scahill and others, and is considered progressive. Progressive-minded, and it is in many ways. But they also, they hosted a workshop for this propaganda organization called Bellingcat, which is quite amazing. And there are some others. I don't have to go into all the names and the details, but it's just part of what I consider to be an unfortunate naivete, or worse, on the part of certain people on the progressive side of the political spectrum who are easily taken in by this propaganda.
Let me pull this back to a different perspective for a moment, and then I'd like you to share your insights, all right, Edward?
Sure.
Historically, those on the left, going clear back to Watergate and before that to all of the FBI, Operation COINTELPRO, and the Dirty Tricks groups that were functioning against the civil rights movement and then the anti-war movement, the left saw how virtually all progressive or left-leaning or very liberal organizations were infiltrated, and frequently with agent provocateurs that would then steer them into the wrong direction to try to embarrass them or discredit them. For the last nearly 4 years, we have been told repeatedly by Adam Schiff on the intelligence committees that the Russians played a major role in getting Trump elected. And every single day, all of the media would pound on this theme that he was an illegitimate president. Now we find out, after four complete investigations, including the Mueller investigation, that wasn't true. But worse, we find that there was no truth to any of these allegations because from the very beginning, what they were saying in secret testimony behind closed doors was that all these officials, all these governmental agents, no, the head of the CIA, Brennan, head of the National Security Agency, Clapper, they had no actual knowledge of this. So on the one hand, they're lying every single day to the American public. and then they're telling the truth behind closed doors when they're under oath and can be held in contempt for perjury. And so I'm thinking, well, how could they all be fooled? And then I realize they weren't fooled. You know, they are complicit, because then they have done the same thing now with COVID. They've weaponized it. You know, for those of us who have a science background, public health background, and this is from scientists all over the world, orthodox mainstream scientists are coming forward saying we shouldn't be in lockdown, at least not those who are young and healthy and are not going to get sick. And even if they should be infected, they're going to get well. That's over 99% of the population are going to survive this. Then you don't destroy an entire, let's say, economic foundation of a society by keeping people at home. You also increase the amount of deaths from people being at home. And now we have thousands of voices speaking out. And yet the government keeps doubling down, all with the same message. And the media supporting the government. The media supporting the very agencies that are known to have lied and been compromised, like the FDA and the CDC. And worst of all, the World Health Organization. I wouldn't trust anything they said. So now we have, and again, all this is against Trump. Anybody who listens to this program knows that I am fully against Trump and always have been. Two of my very close friends worked for Trump years and years ago. So I know all about the man. There's nothing about him I respect or his administration. He's as utterly in contempt of the truth. He's functionally illiterate. But what I dislike more than I dislike Trump is a coup against a whole nation. And then by extension, how that impacts people all over the world. So could you take a little time, please, and share your perspective about how we have been engaged in systemic lying, systemic manipulation of the truth, and people who have the truth, who have done the research on, let's say, Benghazi, and the truth about how everybody was lying about Benghazi, or how they were lying about Assad. And it was independent journalists who were given really no time. Nobody followed up on the story of Seymour Hersh and others who were in Syria, found the truth and said Assad didn't cause these chemical attacks. And that's what we're not hearing. And yes, there have been voices, progressive voices like Chris Hedges, that I believe have misstated the facts because they supported or believed in the wrong, innocently so, they believed in the wrong original data. So their data was wrong, and the masters of propaganda have been infiltrating all the progressive and left voices to say, trust the intelligence agencies, bring the head of the CIA, bring the head of the National Security Agency, bring these people on board who have historically lied and misrepresented the facts for decades. And I just thought that was an enormous abrogation of a responsible journalist to start off with someone who has a history of lying. So the people who lied about, let's say, the weapons of mass destruction, look at the consequences of that. Look at the consequences of the people who were killed, displaced, became homeless, who lost everything. Nothing is written about these people and their children, their suffering. Nothing is written about the consequences of Obama and Bill Clinton and all the things and George Bush that they did wrong. The very same people, the journalists and the media, are now saying, forget all these people who are wrong. Now they must be right. And I find that they're too smart not to have known how stupid they were in being on the wrong side of all these issues. Your thoughts, please.
Well, Gary, I agree with you entirely about Trump. Let me start with that. He is a ridiculous fool, as far as I'm concerned, and was so from the start. I've written about all of this, everything that you were just talking about, in my new book, Seeking Truth in a Country of Lies. And Let me begin with this. I think, first of all, years ago, not that many years ago, I met and interviewed the former New York City policeman, Frank Serpico. And one of the things we talked about, and one of the things he has said repeatedly is, once he was shot in this infamous event in the early 70s, he was lying there in a pool of blood, and the thought came to him, and the thought was this, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. And these people in Congress, the New York Times, the Washington Post, all the mainstream corporate media, they know they're lying, but they do the work of the intelligence agencies, of the power elites, of the World Economic Forum, of the billionaires and trillionaires who run the show, the people who own the country. Of course they know they're lying. And so-called Russiagate has been, as you said, totally disproven by, among other people, Ray McGovern and his group of former intelligence analysts. We've known this for years and years. But none of this is really new. And the mainstream corporate media work for the intelligence agencies. They're almost the same thing as a friend of mine who, his name is Douglas Valentine, who wrote a book called The CIA as Organized Crime, has said to me repeatedly, you can't really distinguish the CIA from the New York Times, the Washington Post, NBC, CBS, CNN, etc. They are essentially the same thing. And yeah, these are just blatant lies, but people like lies. They like to be, in my opinion, they like to be lied to. And why is that? Because most people lie themselves. And it's somehow comforting to be lied to and to believe in illusions that make it seem as if you're living in a decent country, a country in which your leaders tell you the truth and care about you, and they don't. It's really that simple, I think. And Go on.
Let's take that a little further. One of the curious phenomena have been observing Trump in the White House. Clearly, he is a buffoon. He is intellectually the dimmest president that we've ever had. He is impatient. He's impulsive. He's narcissistic. He's egotistical. But at the end of the day, we've had extremely charming, highly intelligent presidents and surrounded by legions of advisors, the technocrats, who are part of the permanent Washington establishment. And it's really irrelevant whether a person is conservative or liberal in politics because they're all controlled by the same major power base. So it doesn't really matter who's going to be voted in. And right now it's probably a Biden by a major margin. And I said at the very beginning of Trump's presidency, don't focus your energy on Trump. He will self-destruct. He is incapable of not lying. He's incapable of making any sustainable, intelligent, and positive change. So get on with making things better. Focus upon eliminating Citizens United, reinstating the Glass-Steagall Act, have a national Marshall Program to plant billions upon billions of trees in the United States, to de-ghettoize our cities, to raise the minimum wage to a living wage, to bring a universal tax code so all corporations must pay the same basic income tax, let's say 20%. But right now, they're angry at Trump for, not paying his taxes, yet all the major corporations pay no taxes. So I said, we must do good things because they haven't been done at all in the last 40 years. The only ones who benefited from anyone being in the White House, Democrat or Republican, have been the major corporations. And behind those corporations are the policy wonks and the Council on Foreign Relations and all the other maybe 1,000-plus think tanks that you mentioned who go to Capitol Hill and go on television and say, this is what we need. And the public are assuming because of their credentials and their pedigree that we should trust them. And you see no progressive, you see no real spiritually inclined people, you see no humanistically inclined people, you see no environmentally inclined people, you see no animal rights people, you see no peacemaking people anywhere in the entirety of the Washington consensus. The entire Beltway, let's say 100,000 plus individuals who control all of our lives. So when it comes down to the bottom of all this, the deep state has cheerleaders from the liberal, the progressive, and communities who are supporting them and giving them cover. And that is the impression that I have. So I see the entirety of the liberal media, especially the people like Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes, praising all the players in the intelligence agency who would otherwise be regarded with enormous distrust and disdain. Despicable characters in the past who were with the CIA and the National Security Apparatus and the FBI or the defense in industries. These people are now looked upon as heroes, and these were all figures, all of them supporting our invasions in Vietnam, in Afghanistan, throughout the Middle East, in the destruction of Libya, the most progressive country of the 54 countries in Africa that represented not only no threat to us, but an enormous advantage leading Africa and its other nations forward. And they support domestic surveillance in the name of the war on terror. And all of this because of the liberal disdain of Trump. And we have a disdain for Trump, but this raises serious questions about liberalism's honesty and integrity. And right now, I don't respect anything on Democracy Now! Or Amy Goodman. And that's where the left showed me their complete disdain for the truth, when the only asset that was ever privatized in the so-called coup that didn't exist was Democracy Now! And no one on the left will challenge that, and everyone supported it. Well, that tells me a lot. Now, you can like who you want and support who you want, but no one's looking for the truth, in my opinion, not in the media and not on the left. My thoughts, I'd like to hear yours.
Sure. Let me suggest something even more devious as a possibility, Gary. We have an election coming up between what I call Tweedledee and Tweedledum. And this is your usual every four-year election, except this year, as you said, we have someone who is despised by so many people on the left, Mr. Trump. But in our last three or four or five or six or seven or eight or nine elections, we had Tweedledee and Tweedledum going for the presidency every year. Very, very little has changed over these decades. As people get worked up, excited, putting out their signs, supporting their candidates from Obama to George W. Bush. By the way, Obama, I'm told recently, or I don't know if he's done this yet, but is holding a fundraising drive for Mr. Biden at George W. Bush's ranch in Texas, which basically sums up the game that's being played. But suppose, and let me go back to this, suppose Trump and Biden, the way I look at it is this way. the overarching elites who control the game, the spectacle that we're watching all the time, suppose they control both Biden and Trump, and that the war between the Democrats, Russiagate, etc., and Trump is a fake game. But it gets people very excited to vote in the new guy. But that it's all spectacle, all an act, and that Trump is part of the game. He's not opposed. He is just one faction within the power elite between the deep state. But they're both puppets played by the people above them. And so underneath that umbrella, the public, you and I, are the audience for this game. And it's even more devious than we think. If you speak about COVID, right? COVID-19 and what's happened. Well, if you look across the spectrum, people on the liberal side and on the conservative side, are basically in agreement about this whole thing. And who is running this whole great reset? Who is building back better? It's Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and the people who meet in Davos. I think it's much bigger than just Trump and Biden. Much bigger.
I would agree with you. Another strategy of the deep state is to increase our addiction and reliance upon technology. And it's not just diagnostic tests and contact tracing and vaccines during the pandemic, and that's all been politicized to be commodified, but rather the complete digitalization of our lives. Young adults today are little more than appendages to their gadgets, connecting them to the fake reality, the internet, but always enticing them that with the newest and the best and the most brightest and sparkly, they will feel even better about the life that they are living without looking at anything in their life that is really based upon substance. So after we looked at the World Economic Forum's agenda that you just mentioned, behind the Great Reset that you just mentioned, that will be deliberated upon this January at Davos, the majority of the proposals on the table all concern some kind of technology, artificial intelligence, drones, robotics, 5G, satellites, greener technologies that will be completely reliant upon escalating and digging up more resources and nano-chipping people. And we have reached a point where humans were created to serve technology rather than a technology to be of service to improving people's lives. You wrote, "The pace of private and public life has outrun most people's ability to slow down long enough to realize a hidden hustler has taken them on a ride to Wonderland, where the only wonder is that more people have not gone insane as they slip and slide away from the superhighway to nowhere." Well, well said. And that means the entire pitch, the propaganda to the public for pushing 5G is nothing more than additional speed and some personal conveniences, nothing more. Clearly, there is a much larger agenda behind 5G. We've written, I think, 13 articles about 5G and why it's dangerous. What do you envision behind getting more people dependent upon technology, and where will this eventually lead us as a civilization, at least those of us who are aware that we are being manipulated, we are being conditioned to obey? And now with draconian new laws that if we do not allow tracing, if we do not allow a fraudulent RNA test, the PCR, to be used as a diagnostic gold standard, which it is a junk standard, it is garbage science. And by the way, I knew very well Dr. Curry Mullis who won the Nobel Prize in 1993 in science for inventing the PCR. He told me repeatedly, this should never, ever be used to tell whether or not a person has a viral load in their body. This is merely a magnification to enhance a particle of a virus or other bacteria to a level where you can better see it. And yet that's not how it's being used. And yet the public is lining up to get tested and then to get traced and then to get a mandatory vaccine. And the New England Journal of Medicine said, we must make this mandatory. Do you really think for a second that anything that the New England Journal of Medicine says is not politically or scientifically or by those who have the power to get their statements out, not motivated by other interest? This has been shown repeatedly. They just had to recently retract, as did The Lancet, an article condemning hydroxychloroquine combination because it worked. They said it didn't. Well, how were they so easily fooled? Well, this is what's going on when the major institutions, even liberal media, has been used. I have people in liberal media. I have friends. I have one of the leaders of the entire liberal movement in America who sits, you know, has been a major contributor and sat on the boards of major liberal organizations. Now, mind you, this is a close friend for 40 years, and he will not accept that he is not smart enough to understand if someone's playing him. He's a massive narcissist in that respect. Many on the left feel we're too smart, we're too educated, we're too hip, we're too connected to be used. And I'm saying, no, it's because you are that smart and so self-righteous that you've aligned yourself what you think is the right cause, but you're afraid to know the real truth. You're not digging deep enough. So I'm constantly sending articles over showing you were wrong. Look at the truth here. Look at the truth there. Look at the truth. And even though I show the truth, they refuse to let go of their biases and prejudice. So you have an army of otherwise highly educated, socially aware liberals who refuse to condemn anything Obama did, refuse to condemn anything Clinton did, refuse to condemn anything that the New York Times, Washington Post, well, the Times is the public as a paper of record. Everybody realizes that they have to go through all forms of vetting processes for everything they do. They couldn't be lying. Yeah, they lie all the time. They're part of the pro 5G agenda. They're promoting it. They're part of the pro vaccine agenda. They're part of the agenda to condemn anyone, any pediatrician, any homemaker, anyone who's actually had a dead or damaged child after a vaccine to give them any credibility. So on every major issue that impacts us immediately, they want the government to lead. They want the CIA to lead. They want the National Security State to lead. They don't care about how much surveillance there is. They don't care about draconian laws. They don't care about any of this. They just care about being against Trump and the people around Trump. Fine. But look at the mistakes that these people are making and who they're choosing, even to trust anyone at the World Economic Forum. These are some of the worst human beings on the planet. These people are not just amoral, they're immoral. They fly in on private jets to talk about global warming. They'll sit there and eat Kobe beef or have, you know, gourmet food fed to them and yet talk about interest in what they can do personally. We all should be responsible. And there's not a damn thing Obama or any of these people have ever done in their lives to show that they care about the planet, animals, or anything else. These are utter hypocrites. These are people who supported the carnage that has occurred, the regime change in Honduras, the regime change in Ukraine, all of these other conflicts. They support. They support everything. They supported all of them, the whole bunch supported the bailout of Wall Street that didn't help a single individual, a single small business person, but helped those in power. So you see, when I'm pulling back and looking at the bigger picture, this great reset is just merely a matter of getting everyone to believe that nothing can go back to normal, that all of our loss of rights and freedoms is the new normal. And if you're opposed to this, then you're one of the lunatic fringe. You're either so far out on the alt-right and they don't even look at the alt-left, They don't look at the bomb throwers. They don't look at the anarchists because they needed them, so they used them, figuring as long as we bring these people in, it'll help us gain extra votes. Now they realize they can turn it all off after the election. You don't turn off anarchists. You don't communicate with them. They have a completely detached mindset from reality. Now they're going to be out doing a lot of the stuff, and you won't hear a word about it. It won't make any news cycle. We never hear the truth now in the media. We're not shown the truth. We don't hear it. And when you try to share it on the internet, Google sweeps it. You want to talk about the dangers of a vaccine? Facebook sweeps it, and Wikipedia attacks you. So that's the world I see. And I see we have no opportunity to change anything at this moment. The best and brightest of our voices, the most important documentaries, the most important articles, exposés, are now completely thrown out of the arena. Those playing on the field, the two opposing teams, are both owned by the same people. So it doesn't matter who wins that game. The people who own the whole country, and by extension influence the world, they win, and everyone else is just distracted by bread and circuses. Those are my personal thoughts. I'd like to hear your response, please.
Well, I'm laughing because I agree with everything you just said. It's absolutely true. If Biden wins the election, certain superficial things will seem different, just as they did under Obama when he replaced George W. Bush. But very little of substance will change. The cover stories will change, and the bad guy, being Trump in this puppet show that's being played out, will be gone, and the good guy will be marching in. But the good guy will be the bad guy. As much as the bad guy was the bad guy. And on we will go. Nothing will change. You spoke of the electronic life and this guy Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the World Economic Forum. He's written a lot of books. And he has said, and I'm almost quoting him here, I think, all things will be smart and all things will be connected to the internet and all people will be too. Because in these people's minds, we are machines. We're not human beings. We don't have flesh and blood. And over the years, people have fallen into this trap. I think we live in a fabricated reality now where the visible world, the flesh and blood world, the world where you can shake hands. Well, who said, I hope we never shake hands again? What was his name? Dr. Fauci. But for that world, for many people who live on these cell phones, who live in the screen world, there is no physical world anymore. It's all abstraction. And so if Biden comes in and wages these wars, which are being waged under Trump, most people don't know that. They think Trump is not waging war, but that is false. He is waging world war through proxies, through drones. We're in 22, 24 African countries with special forces and our own French Foreign Legion, so to speak. But if Biden comes in, this will just continue in a different way. But it will continue. I mean, Biden loves war. I mean, he's voted for every war that's ever come around. But I think this whole world of cyberspace is so dangerous. The world of biotechnology, the world of artificial intelligence. If you look around, I live in the country, right? And if you go out for a walk, you see people walking by a lake, by a stream, in the woods, and they're looking at their phones. they're looking, and all around are birds in the trees, are beautiful foliage. There's water lapping in the lake, and they're looking at their phones. This is mass hallucination, and it's taking us to a very, very dark place. And I think this is what the Great Reset is all about. You know, the slogan, Building Back Better, which is used by the World Economic Forum, which is used by Biden. Building back better. Yeah, sure. No, not back better. Moving forward to a seismic shift to an online existence. Online existence. We are in big trouble, Gary.
I would agree, but I think it is only when a system can completely break down entirely that the people who were participating in it or allowed this to happen without showing their strength or resistance will then have no choice but to examine at a deeper level of awareness, how did this happen, and then realize they chose to stay intentionally ignorant, what I call intentional neglect. When you don't want to change, when you don't want to give up your allegiance to that which is wrong, then you will intentionally not want to know the truth of the consequences of the choices you've made. And hence the people who, as you said, Joe Biden has supported every war. He has dementia. And this election is only about Kamala Harris getting in power because as much as the deep state and corporate America loves Biden, they realize that he no longer has the strength to carry forward in, let's say, 6 months to a year from now. He won't be able to function at all in front of the public, but Kamala Harris will be the new firebrand. Right. And therefore, anything she says, she'll be able to get away with because she'll use both her ethnicity and she'll use her gender, and people will stay silent who otherwise would have some legitimate arguments, and they know this. They're fully aware of this. So we're all being played. And as much as I support many of the different demonstrations that have taken place, and I've led many, in the last year I've led 9 demonstrations, notably against GMOs, the pipeline, hydrofracking, climate change, mandatory vaccines, etc. And I've also marched against Wall Street, the big banks, nuclear power, against racism, mandatory, let's say, identification, I've been opposed all along to stop and search, etc. There has yet to be a truly existential revolt in mass. None. And I mention this because when I was filming the documentary Poverty Inc. over a 7-year period, because economics kept changing, so I couldn't just finish a documentary because everything then would have been irrelevant earlier. So I had to wait till that 2008 became almost a 2000 and around 2015, when we then started to settle into a new economic reality with new politics behind that. I was in one suburb or in Nevada, and I saw how many homes were foreclosed on. And then the question was, were any of these people being helped by this administration? The answer was no. Not by Obama, not by anyone on the left in power. Was there an executive order for a moratorium so that banks and lending companies and these other economic vultures wouldn't swoop in and throw the people out? The answer was no. But on the other hand, were major corporations bailed out who had been mismanaged and should not have been bailed out? They should have gone bankrupt and reorganized. The answer was yes, they were all saved. Was the military-industrial budget brought down so that more money could go into low-income neighborhoods and help those who were suffering? The answer was no. Were we doing anything more to help feed 16 million hungry children? The answer was no. Were we doing anything to help the war refugees from the Middle East? The answer was no. Were we helping prevent conflict in the poorest nation in the Middle East? And the answer was not only no, but we were supporting Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates who were in that conflict, and I'm thinking they couldn't be killing these poor people and letting them starve to death unless we gave them the intelligence and participated in the blockade so food couldn't get to starving civilians. Medicine couldn't get to the starving civilians. And they allowed all the hospitals and the schools to be bombed. I'm talking about in Yemen. And yet there was Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, sponsoring this war. Barack Obama sponsoring it. Being toasted by everyone at The Nation magazine and these other fools sponsoring this and celebrating our hegemony and a new form of colonialism in the Middle East. I'm thinking, why can't the people who are supposed to think deeper look at the truth of their support? But they had already codified around it doesn't matter what anyone on the left does who's in power, we must support them even if they're genocidalists. And in my opinion, Obama and Clinton are genocidalists. There's no other way to explain what they did in Libya that destroyed the whole nation. And now it went from number one in Africa, the 54 nations, in wealth, no debt, no crime, the greatest reservoir, the best educational system in that area of the world, more freedoms and prosperity, to a basket case where there's open slave markets. And yet no one has stepped forward to take responsibility and say, you know, we really screwed up. We owe an enormous apology to the world. But we don't see peace ambassadors out of a liberal-controlled Congress. Nothing. Only warmongers. And so when I look at all this, these are all people. The liberal community supported the GMOs. They supported, like KPFK and Pacifica Station, supported, unfortunately, the big pharma and mandatory vaccines. I know that for a fact because I was prevented with Bonnie Faulkner censored on the fraud of Pacifica being a free speech. It's a crap. We were censored. Nothing happened to the people that censored us. There was no condemnation. Just some of the listeners who want to know the truth about what's wrong with mandatory vaccines like Gardasil, the MMR vaccine, and taking away all exemptions, and allowing a whole state to have a huge increase in autism and neurological disorders, which has happened. No responsibility, no condemnation at all. And so when people let all this all happen, then I'm thinking, my God, we have not stood up. The people in those housing developments in Nevada and elsewhere who were living middle class and good lives, they weren't even helping each other. I ask people, your neighbor across the street is getting his house foreclosed. They're standing out on the lawn. The deputies are there to make sure they don't go back in the house. They've been given an hour to put everything out in the lawn. They have no place to go. They have no money. Have you gone over and said, friend, we've been friends for 20 years. Our kids have grown up together. We barbecue together. We even vacation together. Let me do something to help you. What can I do? Nothing. They would look through blinds at their neighbors being evicted. I'm thinking, my God, this is Germany. Except instead of sending someone off to a concentration camp or to a Warsaw ghetto to be killed, we're sending them off into an existential existence where they have no tools and no preparation. How is that in any way showing our commitment to some higher or spiritual or community ideal? It's not. They managed to separate Americans from their neighbors, their own family members. 24 million Americans ended up homeless. No one would record it. They lied about the actual unemployment rates. They were at least triple what they said. No one would report on the actual unemployment rates. They lie about everything and do nothing to change a single bad thing in America. I have not seen nuclear power dealt with. I haven't seen mandatory vaccines dealt with. I haven't seen poverty dealt with. I haven't seen ghettoization of America dealt with. I haven't seen reform of this justice system dealt with. I haven't seen anything that's important dealt with by either side, and there won't be anything dealt with. So we're in for a big smackdown on all levels. So if the American public wants to take more tranquilizers, watch more reality garbage television, vote for one of these functional idiots that is You know, if you had Lassie the dog as president, it wouldn't make any difference to the outcome of what's going to be happening because it's the technocrats and the corporations behind it that control everything. Then we're just going to stay passive, and one day they'll come and put a headset on someone that'll be connected to your brain so they'll know everything you've ever thought and put thoughts into your brain to control you. We have no idea how evil the people in power are, how utterly contemptible of anything legitimate in the way of caring for people that all of these dancing clowns in all of the agencies, all of the department heads, all of the major corporations, all of the media are. And especially now, I have full and utter contempt for those who are smart enough to know better, know the ethics of choice, and choose not to choose rightly. There's something that the past philosophers, some of whom are able to teach us lessons today, Camus, Sartre, Thomas Merton, Gandhi, Tolstoy, and we're not even telling our children these people even existed. Mention Thomas Merton to a Harvard graduate, and they'll say, who? What did Tolstoy write, and why was it important? Who's Tolstoy? And so now legions of new functional idiots are going into the world, and the only thing they know is how to work their gadgets. I feel we must start to take a much larger perspective about individuals and ourselves and our personal pet causes and the planet in order to really observe the larger threat and crisis that is unfolding. So in conclusion, from your literary and philosophical inquiries, what do you see that they have to teach us that is most relevant now? Your closing thoughts, please.
Well, let me begin with Thomas Merton, the former Trappist monk, the prophetic Trappist monk, who there's a book, Gary, about the JFK assassination by James Douglas called JFK and the Unspeakable. And Thomas Merton, about whom I've written in my book, coined this phrase, the unspeakable. And what he said was, you know, the unspeakable is this void that gets into the official language even before it's spoken. And the official language is an absolute meaningless void about nothing. It's all lies. And you're right. Most people have never heard of Thomas Merton, who, by the way, died in Thailand in 1968, a very weird death. But he was a leading outspoken anti-war writer in the 1960s. He once said that someday they'll sell us the rain. And they've already sold us the rain. And they sold people a bill of goods on a vast scale. And all of this propaganda, all of what you're talking about and what we're discussing, goes back 50 or more years, at least, until the 1960s. There was a guy in the 1960s, his name was Jim Garrison. He was a district attorney of New Orleans. He's the only guy who ever brought a trial in the assassination of President Kennedy. And he said that most Americans live inside a doll's house. And in this doll's house, where they're trapped, so to speak, you know, in lockdown, the windows reflect in on them.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'm sorry, but the clock has run its course. Thank you very much for being with us today. You've given us a great deal to think about. My guest, Professor Edward Curtin, Curtin, and you can see his writings, including his book, Seeking Truth in a Country of Lies, and by going to edwardcurtin.com. I'm Gary Null. Thank you for listening to the Progressive Commentary Hour.